going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment, where your questions and comments matter. At 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. You can feel it in the air, or maybe you can even smell it, all of that Thanksgiving table anticipation, turkey, mashed potatoes, stuffing, mac and cheese, and of course, sweet potato pie. Oh my. But with all of that and much more, how can you cook and eat more healthily this week and beyond? Joining me to talk about this are Dr. Rovinia Brock. Dr. Roe, you know her, author, nutritionist, and health and wellness coach, and celebrity chef Eric Marshall. Lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Dr. Roe, Eric, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
It is my pleasure to be with you.
Thank you so much. Okay, Dr. Roe, I'm going to start with you. I'm going to do a Debbie Downer on this conversation right off the top. No one likes to talk about healthy eating during Thanksgiving, but why is it so difficult?
Why is it so difficult to do it or to talk about it?
Because it's so difficult to do it. It's already difficult to talk about it, but we're going to do it anyway. But how?
I don't know that it's difficult to do, really, because I have some solutions to making some of your faves. Like you mentioned, mac and cheese. I have ways for you to make mac and cheese and some of your other favorites, including potatoes, sweet potatoes, and greens and green beans and all those kinds of things. Like, but for your favorites, where you can make them healthy, still savor the flavor, and you don't have to give everything up.
But why is it so difficult for us to eat more healthily during this week? Why do we struggle with that?
So this is a time of nostalgia, right? This is, and we're in winter or fall months where comfort foods just sort of come and claim you. So during Thanksgiving, most people tend to overeat because there's this huge meal to begin with. So the meal is already bigger than it normally is or should be. And so you feel inclined to partake in everything that you see on the table. That's what most people do. And I know that's clearly what my clients do. And so we have to, give them some workarounds to make plans so that you don't blow your diet plan or your meal plan and you don't pack on the 7 to 10 extra pounds that many people do each year from Thanksgiving to Christmas through the holidays.
Eric, how do you know when too much is too much at the table?
When I'm falling asleep.
I mean, can you look at it? Can you look at a table and let's say you have 10 people coming? That's right. A nice round number. When you look at the table, how do you know that there is just too much at that table?
Well, one of the things you have to know still is it's all about portion control. Because Thanksgiving, everybody's going to eat. That's what's, like she said, it's comfort food. It's food is just going to call you out and be like, all right, come eat me, come get me.
That's what it's there for, right? Yeah.
But it's like, and it's hard to control other people's portions. So it's like, if I do a dinner, I can't be like, all right, everybody get one drum or one wing. Because it's always more is better because it's a feast time. But by looking at it, it's like, realistically, it's always going to be more because you're going to look at it and be like, man, that's a lot of food. Because when you're making a dinner for everybody, it's like, all right, I want everyone to eat. So there's going to be an abundance. So that question is like, it's a tough question by just spotting out, looking at it, because you can't be like, all right, let me give them a fist size of
right,
stuffing.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about healthy cooking and healthy eating during this Thanksgiving season. and beyond. I'm here with celebrity chef Eric Marshall and Dr. Rowe, author, nutritionist, and health and wellness coach. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call. Lines are open. Okay, so I just got an invitation in a text. Friend of mine, and I'm calling her out because this is what's on the list. I don't know, and I know she's listening, and she's going to be really upset. But I'm not going to call her name. But they're going to be ribs, turkey, lamb, fried chicken, fish, asparagus, peas, salad, spinach, butternut squash, cabbage, mac and cheese, basmati rice, corn, sweet potatoes, fruit, cookies, cake, gingerbread, sweet potato pie, ginger brew, apple cider, lemonade, cucumber water, and I'm tired already.
We're all coming over.
How many people?
Now, so.
What's that, Dr. Rowe?
We're all coming with you because here's the thing. She obviously is preparing a feast, and I don't know if it's for an army, but it sounds like it. But here's the great thing about her menu. I've heard about 7 great choices that you can make on that menu.
So what? Tell me about that. What did you hear?
Because you see food doesn't mean you have to eat it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So the onus is not on the host that's preparing the meal and that has invited you over. The onus at this point is on you. So you have to choose well for you and for your body and for your life. So I heard basmati rice. I heard, fruit. I heard 3 different kinds of meat and fish. So
sweet potato.
Here's my suggestion for you and everyone listening. In a situation like that, scope out the table, mm-hmm. and figure out what are your three top picks? What are the things that you just have got to try, that you've got to have, that your brain just says, yes, that's me, I want to have that. Just go for your top three, as opposed to going through the whole buffet and having some of everything. Because very few people can take a fork full of everything and be satisfied. They'll want to eat the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. I know. Because if there's something left, then they've got to try to take it out. Because,
yeah
it's just not going to work. Let me go to the phone lines. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Let's talk to Chris, calling from Columbia. Hey, Chris, what's on your mind?
Hey, yes, I'm so glad you guys are talking about this because what I've done and I'm so excited about, I've gone to Everlasting Life. I don't know if you guys know that restaurant, but they have everything you guys are talking about. And the best part about it is that it's the things that we're used to, but it's all vegan. So we're able to have what we love, but have a healthier portion of it. So I just wanted to share that. I think it's awesome.
So you're going to eat out on Thanksgiving. You're not going to eat in.
No, they cater, which is awesome. So I don't have to eat out, and I can still bring in and share it with the family.
Oh, okay, yeah. So you're not.
I can choose 3 or 4 of their favorite things on the menu, right,
yeah.
Chris?
I'm sorry, it broke up. What did you say?
So your family is able to choose 3 or 4. They have the option, even though they're vegan choices, because, not all vegan choices are necessarily low calorie or low fat.
Exactly.
Or delicious.
Right, exactly. But it's still a step in the right direction. And like you guys mentioned before, it's portion control. I mean, too much of anything is not necessarily the best thing for you. So, but it's just, like I said, a step in the right direction,
Yeah.
Well, Chris, thank you so much for sharing with us. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. How do you cook and eat more healthily during the course of this Thanksgiving week and beyond? Give us a call if you have a question or a comment. Okay. So, Eric.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about healthy cooking, because when we are talking about, let's assume for the sake of argument that we're talking about Black families, and we're talking about folks who have been around for a little while, as well as, some of the younger folks as well. Making collard greens without ham hocks may be fine for those who are under the age of 40, maybe. But when you start talking about, Big Mama and your great aunt and all of those folks, how do you satisfy, if not everyone, the lion's share of the family when you're talking about some of the more traditional cultural dishes from, you know, from the Black community?
So for me, it's about how I season it. It doesn't have to have the ham hock in there or mm-hmm. all the fat. So you don't have to cook it in certain type of grease, because I use a lot of coconut oil when I cook a lot of my dishes. And that's much healthier than anything else. Oh, that's what I feel anyway. But it's about the season. People are used to seeing that ham hock in there or that bacon or all that in there. But if you season it properly, then you get the same flavors and it's much lower calories and healthier for you. It doesn't have all the fats in there, even though some fats are good. It's about portion control still. It's about the amount that you put in there.
Mm-hmm. Give me an example of one of those mainstays. Let's talk about stuffing, for example, because everyone loves
carbs.
Yeah, carbs. That thank you. There it is. Can you make that healthy, or is that a wash?
Mm. Doctor, help me.
Dr. Rogue.
So the chef doesn't want to divert from the traditional, you know, way of doing it. But I don't think dressing or stuffing is a wash at all. I don't think, in fact, any of the items, the traditional items on a Thanksgiving menu, whether it's for Black families or otherwise, I don't think any of it is a wash. Chitlins, I can't get behind. But,
you really got to wash those.
How about that?
Chitlins and hog maw, seriously. But for your vegetables, there's always a way to make them healthier by replacing the fat back in the collard greens or the ham hocks that you might put in the collard greens. There's always a way to do that. You can saute the greens or the green beans, whatever your green vegetable is, with extra virgin olive oil. So a small amount of olive oil and a little bit of water will, once you add your vinegar, your hot sauce, or whatever your other seasonings or spices are, including red pepper flakes, you still are going to have the same flavor, but you're going to have less fat. You're going to have the right kind of fat that's going to protect your heart and not clog your arteries. And at the same time, you've made a lighter dish, but you still retain the flavor. And you can also do that with dressing as well.
Okay. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. How can you cook and eat more healthily this week and beyond? This is the holiday season, of course. Thanksgiving just a few days away. How can you not overdo it? George, calling from Bowie. Thanks for calling, George. What's on your mind?
Yeah, how you doing? Thanks for the call. Sure. Thanks for allowing me to speak. Isn't it, like, to some degree, though, I mean, I think I kind of agree with a lot of what everyone said this evening. And, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas, it's more of the, like you said, tradition, if you will. And is it really so much to, like, even with the hog maws and the fat back, and you traditionally say normally don't eat that, isn't it okay, though, like portion size? I mean, isn't that really, really the key? Because, you know, to curtail some of that, it would really kind of take away from the experience. And so I guess it's a statement and a question that I always kind of just follow portion size and also leftovers. So I'll just hang up and just listen to you guys about that.
Yeah, there you go. I'll start with you, Eric, and then you, Dr. Rowe. Go ahead, Eric.
So I believe a lot of people use Thanksgiving as a cheat day.
Or a cheat week.
Because you're not only going to maybe one person's house. Some people actually house hop for Thanksgiving. They're mm-hmm. going to everyone. They're going to their aunts, their uncles, their friends. And sometimes they choose what meals. Like, you know what? We're going to go to Aunt Tina's house because she make the best greens. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to go here. But it is about portion control. And people use it as cheat days. And sometimes you can have your cheat days. It's about not overindulging, though. Mm-hmm. And then getting to that itis. And then you're just sleeping on all this because people eat all day. And then there's leftovers. And I see why you say Thanksgiving week, because you've eaten all day long. But it is about portion control. You should really control your portions, especially if you're on a strict diet or you have a goal that you're trying to meet.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Rowe, what are the kind of the health risks of overindulging on Thanksgiving? And I'm not talking about long term, but I'm talking about the day.
So the day, for, you know, first of all, one day is not going to kill you. Let me just say that right on the outset. It's mm-hmm. not. At the same time, this one day can set you up for the next few weeks or the next few months mm-hmm. in terms of what you do. And what you eat, how much of it you eat, because you can convince yourself by house hunting, house hopping, as Chef has already said, that, you know, once you get started and your taste buds, you know, become tuned in, you know, they hone in on these flavors and these tastes that come from, you know, consuming a whole lot of high fat, high salt, high sugar food. It is likely, though, that for many people, you'll continue to want to eat that way. And so Thanksgiving moves not only, it goes beyond that day to Christmas and to New Year's and the holidays, you know. So we're talking really, when we talk about Thanksgiving, I like to look at it as, you know, a couple of weeks, if not a month, because that's really what we're ultimately talking about, because people get in the spirit of eating for the holiday. So in the spirit of overindulging for Thanksgiving, which takes you into the next holiday.
There you go. I'm going to take a quick break, but Parker calling from Baltimore, we're going to talk to you next, so please don't hang up. You will be able to hear the program. Stay with us. We're talking about eating and cooking more healthily during this holiday season, starting with Thanksgiving. I'm going to have some secrets to share with you that you need to work on in the kitchen in just a little bit. So please stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a moment.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, Sirius XM Channel 142, HBCU and Sirius XM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking about cooking and eating more healthily during the course of this week and beyond. How do you do it? My guests are Dr. Rovinia Brock, Dr. Rowe, author, nutritionist, and health and wellness coach, and celebrity chef Eric Marshall. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Parker, calling from Baltimore. Thanks for hanging on. What's on your mind?
Yes, sir. So, out of my perspective, so I'm a reasonable eater in terms of, you know, like, healthy eating and whatnot. So I'm originally from the South. And so, unfortunately, there's chitlins at my Thanksgiving meals that disgust me. But more importantly, I think it's important to focus on the totality of one's, you know, diet when we put into one specific day or two specific days, Thanksgiving and Christmas, to really gauge if we want to talk about, you know, like overindulgence. Because for me, since I don't have access to a lot of food that I would eat in North Carolina, and my diet has shifted away from really salty foods, I do indulge in Thanksgiving, but my traditional diet is healthy by nature. So I guess it all depends on the individual and, you know, like how you eat from day to day to be the judge of what you should do for Thanksgiving and the holidays.
You know what, Parker, thank you so much. You make an excellent point. What do you think about that, Dr. Rowe? Because there are some of us mm-hmm. who do have healthy eating practices, but then there are those of us who are already overindulging, and then this week and into next month, we really start to lose our minds. Would you agree with what Parker is suggesting?
I would. And, well, those are the people that I'm most concerned about. If you already eat a health, you already live a healthy life, right? You lead a healthy life, and you have a healthy meal plan, and you know you have a healthy lifestyle, which means you're eating, you're controlling your portions, you're making great food choices, healthy food choices, and you're moving your body you know, at least three times a week, and you're doing that with regularity, it's not you that I'm concerned about for Thanksgiving and for the holiday, you know, a meal trip up. It's the other folks that you mentioned. It's the latter. It's people who are already overindulging, who are already overweight, yet they do wish to lose it. And then Thanksgiving comes around, and they have very little willpower, so they find themselves in situations where food is abundant, much more than they need, and they find themselves, you know, overindulging on those foods that I'm sure taste, you know, amazing, but at the same time may not include the kind of ingredients that they need to get back on track.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Parker, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Okay, let's get in the kitchen for a minute. And
can I say something real quick?
Oh, sure, please do.
And one of the things, Thanksgiving, a lot of people are eating foods they haven't eaten in a long time that they might have mm-hmm. wanted. It's like, oh my God, grandma made this or this. So mm-hmm. that's when they go, for lack of a better word, ham.
They go turkey and ham.
Yeah,
and
they go ham on it because it's like they haven't had it in so long. So it's like, you know what, I'm going to get it. This is the time of year where I can just release and just do whatever I want with eating. And it's hard to do the portion control and stick to your dieting when this time comes around. It takes a lot of willpower to do that.
Let's talk, Eric, a little bit about the actual cooking process. As you may know, I love to cook. The one thing that I don't do is, unless a recipe, like, for example, if I'm baking something that may require salt, but obviously recipes that require baking that require salt, we're not talking about a lot. Mm-hmm. But maybe a quarter teaspoon or something like that. That's for chemical reactions and the whole bit. But a lot of people do use a lot of salt. Is it better to add some salt while you're cooking or cook without it and allow people to add their own?
I would say I use some for flavor, like Himalayan pink salt, mm-hmm. sea salt. I use that a lot. But
what's the difference between, other than it's pretty, but
it is pretty.
Yeah, it is pretty. Yeah, but you know, tongues have no eyes. So
it is actually a little bit healthier the way it is, because it's in an almost like a natural state that it's coming from, not iodized or anything like that. But I do use salt for taste and flavor, like a finishing salt, basically. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to over salt your dish and just give them the option to put what they want on there. Because for me, I don't like a lot of salt on a lot of my stuff, but I do it for my clients. Mm-hmm. So I might put a little bit in there for me, but if something tastes salty to me, then that's what people usually like. Mm-hmm. So it just depends on what you want to do. If you want them to be healthy, just put a little bit of salt and then they can do what they want with their body with the rest of the seasoning.
What do you think about that, Dr. Rowe, your feelings about salt?
So I have a couple of things to say about that. So as far as Himalayan sea salt or any other kind of sea salt, one of the benefits, I don't find it to be healthier, by the way, but I will say that one of the benefits to using sea salt, which is or coarsely ground salt, is that it covers less surface area, so you don't have to use as much. So the sodium content of that dish that you're preparing does not have to be as high as it would be with granulated table salt. That's one. The other thing, and I love a black hickory smoked salt in a lot of things, and it's, you know, a coarsely ground salt like any other sea salt, so it's bigger granules, if you will, which means it doesn't cover the complete surface area of what you put it on. That is one thing. The other way, I think, to flavor foods, because salt, by the way, is not a flavor. It is a flavor enhancer. So what it does is it brings out the natural flavor in the food that you're cooking, which is the reason it works if you use very little. Your 1/4 teaspoon, Harold, it's perfect for most dishes.
Yeah.
But the other thing is another option for flavoring food is to use the juices of fruits like lemon, like orange, like tomato, like, you know, you could use the juices of fruits. And the other thing that I absolutely love is fresh herbs. And whether they're fresh or dry, they still work. But I love good fresh herbs to flavor almost anything with. That's vegetable, meat, fish, even grains. So even quinoa or brown rice or wild rice, whatever, you could put, you know, use those. And the final thing is onions and garlic are what's called an allium vegetable, which means they are in a class called allium vegetables. Onions and garlic actually help to dilate your blood vessels. So they, you know, keep your blood vessels supple, which is very important because your heart's job is to pump blood to all points of your body. So use onions and garlic, you know, abundantly in your food.
What about kosher salt?
Same thing.
No, okay.
Same thing. The kosher salt versus another coarsely ground salt. I mean, it just doesn't cover the surface area of the food. But if it's finely ground, it may as well be table salt. It's
yeah.
not a concern.
Ah, I see. So you're suggesting it's not so much. I mean, other than the iodized salt, but it's not so much which salt, but how it is, how coarse
processed.
It may be. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So now help me with this for those people, because there's always, Eric, someone who is struggling with making sure that a turkey is, first of all, cooked through, not dry and moist, particularly when you're talking about large turkeys, 20 pounds or more. Give me a quick turkey 101. If it's frozen, how do you thaw it out?
I usually let it sit in the refrigerator or something. Running it under water and just letting it sit in there, I don't recommend that at all. Just let it take it out for a couple days early and just let it sit in the refrigerator and let it just thaw out naturally in that process. That's what I recommend. Just mm-hmm. don't throw it in the oven frozen, or just don't let it sit out room temperature, because it'll get bacteria and it'll
It'll make you sick. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wholeheartedly agree.
Yeah.
What was the other question?
And then the cooking of it. So, you know, how do you make sure that your turkey is moist? Because particularly, again, when you're talking about, you know, a large turkey, how do you season it? What do you put in it, on it, to make sure that it is, first of all, moist, but also cooked through? How long do you cook it at? What temperature? Give me the rundown.
So what I like to put in mine are vegetables. I put, like, red peppers, green peppers, onions, garlic, like she said. I put everything almost in my any vegetable inside of mine. And one of the important things is I cook mine slow and long, and I cover it. I might take the cover off at the end to get that nice crisp and crunch on that skin. But one of the best things to have is a thermometer, just to make sure it's cooked all the way through at the right temperature. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can cook it slow and long, and that's what keeps that flavor. And I also baste it a lot.
Okay, you said slow and long. Temperature, how long?
I do mine about 350, about 300 or 350. Now, mine might take, let's see, 5 or 6 hours cook.
Is that for like a 20-pound turkey?
I would say that's good for a 20-pound.
Okay.
I would say that's good for a 20-pound.
Now, I've heard people, you know, talk about brining. I'm not even going to get into the whole fried turkey thing.
Oh, brining helps break down everything.
What is that?
It's a mixture that you put together. You let it sit in there for a while. And what it does...
How long?
Oh, you can do about an hour of brining or actually overnight brining. Because what it does, the brine does, it actually breaks down the meat on the inside. And this is what makes it moist and soft and stuff, too.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, it'll be nice and succulent and juicy and really flavorful.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Your thoughts about turkey. By the way, are you cooking on Thursday, Dr. Rowe?
I am not. I'm actually going out.
I'm not surprised.
I thought we were going where you were going, whoever sent you that menu.
Yeah, yeah. She would be more than happy for me to bring a whole bunch of folks over there. But do you cook? And when it comes to turkey and a healthy, flavorful turkey, what do you suggest, Dr. Rowe?
Okay, so yeah, I do cook, and I do make an awesome turkey. I roast a great turkey, so my secret is I tuck herbs under the skin, all over the turkey.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I take fresh herbs, rosemary, basil, thyme, and I put them all over the skin. I then take a, I take an onion and quarter it, put it in the inner cavity of the skin of the turkey. Mm-hmm. So once I put the herbs under the skin, then I'm going to put, as Chef Eric said, I'm going to put my vegetables in the cavity. So I use a quartered onion, and I use a couple of celery sticks. And but I season, in addition to this, I take fresh garlic and put it in there, and I also rub it all over the skin of the turkey. And I squeeze a little lemon juice. Because remember, I talked about lemon juice as a flavoring. I squeeze a little lemon juice, and I do put salt on the outside of the turkey. I do, on the skin. Mm-hmm. But I can use less salt because I've already flavored it under the skin with herbs. And then finally, and this is an old family recipe, you're going to need a big brown paper bag, like they used to come from Safeway. And so a brown paper bag, run it into the oven, to sterilize it for just a couple minutes, and then and at a very low temperature. We're not cooking the bag. We just want to make sure that it's going to be prepped for your raw turkey to go in there. And then I put the turkey in there, and I take a couple tablespoons of a buttery spread. I don't use the butter. I use a light either Promise or Healthy Start. And melt that, and then pour it all over the turkey, and then you tuck the bag under the turkey and put that in your roasting pan, and add a couple of cups of water in the pan, because it's going to steam and it's going to roast inside that bag. And I'm telling you, it is the most tender, succulent, savory turkey you'll ever have.
So you're saying that after you've and maybe 190 degrees for that.
I need you to email me that.
Yeah, the 190 degrees, that's low heat. But then you put the raw turkey ready to cook on top of the bag after you put the...
No, in the bag. You're putting it in the bag.
You put the turkey in the bag?
You want to cook inside that bag.
That's a big bag.
She
said a Safeway bag.
A grocery bag. Okay. A big brown grocery bag that you get from now either Trader Joe's or Whole mm-hmm. Foods. Safeway,
Harris,
I think,
Teeter.
uses plastic bags. But, so you get one of those grocery bags, a grocery shopping bag from the grocery store. You're running that in the oven at a low temperature, and then you're going to take it out. You just want to heat it up to kill germs.
Okay. When we come back, more healthy, delicious cooking tips. And I had to finish a conversation I had with Dr. Rowe the last time she was on about bread.
Oh my God.
Yes. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Alrighty.
Yeah. We'll be back in just a moment. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a moment. Back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking about cooking and eating more healthily during this holiday week and beyond. Okay. But before I continue, Dr. Rowe, you've got a new book coming out. And tell me about it real
got
quick.
Got a new book out right now.
Oh, it's out.
Already out.
Oh, what? Yeah. So first of all, before you even tell me what it's about, where can we find it online?
Everythingro.com. Everythingro.com.
Okay, so what's the book about? What are you talking about?
So Lose Your Final 15 is about helping you to lose weight, just 15 doable pounds at a time. And with the way you're going to do it is, I've already done your meal plans for you. I've given you over 45 recipes in this book. I've given you 45 days of meal plans and grocery shopping lists, so you can take your grocery list to the store to shop for your food. No more guessing about what to buy, and no more guessing about whether or not you're going to stick to your budget, because this way you're going to stick to your food budget as well as your calorie budget. And so I've done all the work for you. And not only that, I'm giving you 15-minute workouts and 15-minute meals. Some of the meals, many of the meals only take 15 minutes to make. And then I'm giving you 15-minute meditations, because I know that the process of weight loss can be stressful for many people. And so I'm helping you to get through that in a calm and peaceful way.
So on Thursday afternoon, you can expect that when they bring the silver tureen out to the table and you lift the cover, there will not be a turkey there, but there will be your book.
There will be my book. And I would look, and I want you to feast on it, because with this book, I'm hoping to help 1 million people lose 15 pounds each. Everybody should lose 15 pounds. Now, many people have more than 15 pounds to lose, but the cool thing about this, the message that I've written in this book is about whatever your number, let's just lose it gradually. Let's do it 15 pounds at a time. And that's something that almost anyone can wrap his or her brain around. You can conceive of, oh, even if you have 50 pounds or 100 pounds, once you lose that first 15, guess what? It gives you momentum to keep going.
Okay. Well, yeah. I congratulations, and you can find that on everythingrow.com. And as always, we make sure that all of the all of that information can be found on our website on whur.com, as always, around 9 o'clock this evening. So, Dr. Rowe, here's the other thing, and I kind of joke about this, but the last time you were on this program, you and I were talking about bread, and you.
Yes, this illustrious program.
Yes, right. You recommended Ezekiel bread.
I did.
Yes, you did. And that was, what, 5 years ago. It's been a minute or two since you've been on the program.
I'm glad to be back tonight.
I am so glad, and I'm going to read you the Riot Act because you remember I said, well, how much does Ezekiel bread cost? And you said it's about $5 a loaf. And I said, oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. And so I waited. I had Ezekiel bread for the first time on Friday.
On Friday?
This past Friday. 5 years or so.
5 years?
That's right. And I will never eat it again.
Wait, hold it. It was awful.
Oh, God, it was awful.
Let me just say this. There are two kinds of Ezekiel bread. So there's Ezekiel 3, 9, 7, I forget. There's a Ezekiel that has a rougher grain, and I think it's I forget the numbers, but it has to do with the scripture in the Bible. But
yeah, right. Yeah, I'm familiar, and the Afro-American scripture too. I've been singing it all weekend. But Ezekiel's
right. So that's the particular version of Ezekiel bread that mm-hmm. has the roughest grain. Now, there's another Ezekiel bread, like even if you got, say, cinnamon. Did you get just the regular?
It was just regular. Bread? It was regular, unpleasant Ezekiel bread.
Yeah, that was.
There's a cinnamon raisin that I like.
I challenge you to get. Do you like cinnamon bread?
I do, but I'm done.
Cinnamon toast? Do you like cinnamon toast?
No,
cinnamon
not bread? Really. No, and here's the thing. I'm not going to put smoked turkey and mustard on cinnamon bread.
No.
Yeah, no.
There is another version of the whole wheat, the whole grain bread. And mm-hmm. now there are even more options. They have Ezekiel bagels. They have Ezekiel, sandwich slices. Mm-hmm. So what they're doing is they still use the whole grain, mm-hmm. but there's another version for people like you who don't prefer the rougher grain. The great thing about eating whole grain breads and cereals and whole grain pastas, when they're really whole grain, they use the germ and the seed of the plant.
Yeah, it tasted like germs and seeds to me.
It's also where you get all your energy, and it's also where you get all your fiber, and where you get all your nutrients, in the germ and the seed in the plant.
Yes.
In refined grains, you don't get any of that.
Yeah, it did.
They get rid of all that, and they just give you the refined.
Yeah, it did taste like germs and seeds to me.
Okay, you know what?
Let me go to the phone lines. Joseph, calling from Gadsden, Alabama. Hey, Joseph, what's on your mind?
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank you and Dr. Rowe for sharing this information.
Oh, and don't forget, we've got another guest in here, Chef Eric Marshall. But go right ahead.
Yes, but the information was very poignant and timely for this time of year. And I, too, like you, cannot stand that Ezekiel bread tastes like cardboard.
Oh, my God.
But I know it's healthy, and I just prefer not to eat any bread.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you.
Joseph, he's amazing, man after my own heart. So I know. I just can't.
You opened this up, Harold.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Now they're going to start coming from you on social media about the Ezekiel bread. Because everyone knows, who knows anything about me, knows that I always recommend it. I don't get a dime for it, but I just do because they were the first brand to do this kind of unprocessed sprouted grain bread and cereal. And this goes a long way to give you sustained energy to get through your day. As well as provide the nutrients that this kind of starchy carbohydrate is supposed to provide when compared to refined breads and cereals. So they've done a really great thing. Now there are other brands that do the same thing, that give you the whole grain, including the germ and the seed. But once you take those away, you may as well be eating air.
But see, but here's the thing.
I'm with Dr. Rowe, though. I like Ezekiel bread.
Well, yeah, see, I was about to.
Eric.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Yeah, ganging up on me. But I was going to say to Eric, and I think this is part of that conversation, is that there needs to be balance between what is tasty and what is healthy. And I'm not going to recommend to people that even if it's good for you, if we've got to force you to eat it, then you're not going to enjoy it. And we are talking about, again, holiday eating, you know, Thanksgiving eating. And so and it's one thing to go from smoked ham hocks to smoked turkey, as opposed to going from, you know, those soft yeast rolls to Ezekiel bread, for example. There's just no comparison.
What I would say
go ahead. Hold on, Dr. Rowe. Dr. Rowe. Let me have Eric, I'll bring you back.
She said, leave my Ezekiel bread alone. What I would suggest is people at least try other things.
Yes.
I mean, you're used to a certain thing, you know, for Thanksgiving.
Even if it takes you 5 years.
Even if it takes you 5 years, just try it, because you'll be amazed how something may taste good, or an alternative for something is still good and it still has that flavor. So most people are closed-minded with food, and that's what I do with some of my dishes. I hold like different pop-ups and stuff, and with my pop-ups, I try to do a different take on different foods. And they're like, you know what? I never had this before. Like, even when I put out my menu for the pop-ups, people don't know what it is until they get there. And then I'd be like, you know what? This is good. But even Thanksgiving, just be open. Even if they say it's healthy, when people say this is healthy, they think there's no flavor.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still flavor. You can still manipulate all these type of dishes. Just give it a try. That's what I would say.
Yeah.
And even if it's like Ezekiel bread,
yes,
make a Ezekiel bread stuff and try something.
Yeah, I mean? I am willing to try. Yeah,
whatever people call it.
And sometimes I'll make something, but I won't necessarily talk about it. I'll just say here. And then they'll say, well, this tastes different, or it tastes better, or then there you go. But this was an experiment. I went on ahead, and because Dr. Rowe, I love you, but no Ezekiel bread for me.
Hey. I love you more. Well, that's one choice.
Just one.
As long as you eat whole sprouted grains in place of refined grains, I'm happy with that.
There you go.
It doesn't have to be Ezekiel bread. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
There are many grains from which to choose, which you can get in whole sprouted versions, and I think you really would like them.
Well, I am going to keep on experimenting. Dr. Rowe, thank you so much. Congratulations on the new book. And as I said, I will be posting your website on our website this evening. And it's good to talk to you again. Stay healthy. And also, Eric, thank you so much for coming in. I really appreciate it.
Not a problem. Everybody, portion control,
portion control. And then hit the gym the day after. That is the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141 for this Monday, November 19th. I'm Harold Fisher. Tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now stay tuned for The Connection.